How about 695? Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Everybody's catching up. Is that show we gather at the river?
No. So say
695? I got a list up six up here. Shall we gather at the river where bright angels' feet have trod, with this crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? We'll gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. On the bosom of the river, where the Savior King we own, we shall meet in sorrow. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Ere we reach the shining river, lay we every burden down. Grace our spirits will deliver and provide a robe and a crown. Yes, we'll gather at the river. Hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. 688. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by his grace I shall look on his face. That will be glory, be glory for me. When by the gift of his infinite grace I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on his face, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by his grace I shall look on his face. That will be glory for me. friends will be there. I have loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face. That will be glory for me. Amen. Number six.
Yes. Before we sing another song,
yes, sir.
Let's get Gene up here and get his over with.
Gene? Yes. Is Brother Gene going to sing us a special tonight? Amen.
Because he's sitting back there just a dreading. And this way it will relieve him so he can enjoy the rest of the service.
Yeah. Here we go.
Now, he came up here early tonight to practice, so he's practiced. And I know that Kitty practiced hers. I heard that train whistle blowing a while ago. But the rest of us, we're just going to do it right off the shoulder, you know. I'm going to sit out there in front so I can see you.
Yeah, pray for him. He's one started this. Oh, you got it? Quiet.
Consider all the worlds thy hand have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displays.
When Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my
shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art,
how great
thou art, how great thou art,
how great thou art.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art.
Sorry.
was a blessing. Amen. Man. We're going to sing number 631. And then we'll have an offering. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his whole name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords. Today, he's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Be a blessing, Lord, to others around us. Lord, help us to
pastor's supposed to sing a special for us here tonight. You. So yeah, we're going to be blessed with a...
You've done your part. Go sit down. I'll make the announcements about who's going to sing. Kitty's going to come and sing tonight. Put her special on, and she's going to be accompanied by her husband. So, Kitty. Right now. Right now. Yeah, you need your glasses to see how to blow that thing.
We didn't rehearse because he didn't offer me any money.
I need to do this. Last time I forgot.
He has the highlighted long, short, long, because I'm real musical.
She's so musical. She's such a blessing. This is called The Long Black Train. Staring back into your eyes, there is protection and there's peace the same. Burning your ticket on that long black train, 'cause there's victory in the Lord, I say, victory. Father and his holy name. Don't go riding on that long black train. There's an engineer on that long black train, making you wonder if the ride is worth the pain. He's just waiting on your heart to say, let me ride on that long black train. But you know there's victory in the Lord, I say, victory in the Lord. Oh, cling to the Father and his holy name. Don't go riding on that long black train. Well, I can hear the whistle from a mile away. It sounds so good, but I must stay away. That train is a beauty, making everybody stare. But its only destination is the middle of nowhere. But you know there's victory in the Lord, I say, victory in the Lord. Oh, cling to the Father and his holy name. Don't go riding on that long black train.
I said, cling to the Father and His holy name, and don't go riding on that long black train. Yeah, watch out, brother, for that long black train. That devil's driving that long black train.
Amazing. Good job.
Nice to talk to you. Did you
do a nice job? All right. We've got some more specials. Jackie, or do you have yours ready? Huh? And we're going to have another new one after this. Fran's going to sing hers, I think. No? No? You had your opportunity to shine, shine, shine. Sure, she's got one. Yeah.
Tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. No, that's fine. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't worry from the sunshine, for his skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter, every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining, there no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains
touch the sky. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through storm and flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know
we don't go too far. We have a new singing group that's visiting with us tonight, and I would like to introduce them at this time. A group known as the Rice Krispies. The three little rice girls. I would like them to come up here and sing a song together. They can sing something like, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. You know that song. Or something else. Come on. All right. Who wants to come up with them? Grandma's going to come up with them. All right. Come on, girls. This is going to be beautiful. Come on. All right. Give them the right key here, Naomi, so they can get started. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? Is that the song you want to sing? I'll blow the whistle for you.
Here. You hold it, it'll get all your voices.
Violet.
Jesus loves me, yes I know. For the Bible tells me so. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Sorry, Kitty, you lost your whistle.
All
All right, Naomi. No, I'm not going to. I'm going to let you take my place. Come on. No, I've got to preach. I got to save my voice. Next time, I'd rather hear Naomi.
Everybody's standing down here tonight, so. This is for whoever wants to hear it. Go ahead. I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes and often slip. Just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just what I say, I'm of a special kind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. A look of love was on his face, a crown of thorns on his head. Blood was on that scarlet robe, hands tainted crimson red. His eyes were on the crowd that day as he looked ahead in time. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine.
Song service. Oh, wonderful. We'll have to do that again. And again. And again. Did I miss anybody? No. Next time. All right. Since we're going to be eating in a little while, I want to get started so we can get this over with. Then we'll be celebrating the birthdays and the anniversaries of all of the people that had birthdays and anniversaries during this month of October. And we've got one special birthday that we're going to be celebrating. Whose is it? Columbus Day. Tomorrow is a holiday. Is that his birthday or what happened? How come that's Columbus Day? He discovered America? I thought it was his birthday. You sure? It's just another holiday. So don't go into work tomorrow. It's a holiday. All right. Let's do something religious. We've already taken an offering. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, it seems like a lot of times I get the thoughts from my messages. It's a kind of a recurring thing. Early in the morning, I'll wake up and I'll be thinking on God's Word. And it seems like it's a time when the Holy Spirit can deal with my mind, and I get to thinking about the things of God, and thoughts will come and they'll begin to develop. And here is one that I could hardly wait until time to get up to write it down or start working on it before I forgot. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And the scripture is this: What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Now, we knew that already. You've heard messages on that. Once you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells in our physical bodies. And Him being there makes our body a temple. Our body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's pretty wow, isn't it? When you think about that. We've studied about the tabernacle and the temple, Solomon's temple, being the place where God dwelt, and a holy place. And now our bodies have become the dwelling place of God, which ye have of God. Now here's the part that I got to thinking about. Ye are not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are not your own, he tells us here. Now, we are Americans. We are citizens of the land of the free and the home of the brave. Regardless of race, creed, or color, if we were born here or have become a naturalized citizen, we are Americans, and the chimes of freedom ring on the very bells of our soul. This generation of Americans are not and have never been in the bondage of slavery. A couple of days ago, I was working on and reading about the 13 colonies and such as this. This country started off on slavery. and it came to a head back during the time of the Civil War, when it was supposed to have been abolished. Now, we have a generation, though, that have never been enslaved. So we've grown up taking our freedoms for granted, don't we? We go when we want to go. We go where we want to go without asking anybody's permission to do it. We can cross state lines and go from the Pacific Ocean all the way to the Atlantic Ocean and not have to show any papers when we go from one state to the other. We can even go to another country if we want to. Cross the borders. If we have a passport and the right credentials, we're free to travel around. If you don't believe it, just read our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. Amen. Amen. And then God's Word comes along and throws cold water in our face. It tells us that we are not our own, that we've been bought with a price. That's a hard concept for us to understand. We Christians hardly realized it, but before we found the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we were bound by the most confining, the most deadly of bonds. No stronger bonds have ever been forged than the bonds by which we were bound before we were saved. We actually belonged to Satan, the devil, and we're so dumb we didn't even know it. We were his servants. We were his slaves. We were bound by the chains of sin. He owned our souls, and we did his bidding. Now don't try to object to that. It's Bible. Now, our lives were committed to him and controlled by him before we were saved. He was our master. We belonged to him, whether we admitted it or not. And many of the people that are under his control today don't even know it. They don't realize it. We didn't know it at that time. But not only our lives, but the eternal destiny of our immortal soul was in the hands of Satan. When death would come to us physically, our soul would immediately go down into the torments of hell, where we would spend eternity. And we lived our life only one heartbeat away from hell. That close. Had we died in our unsaved, unconverted condition, God would have had no alternative but to consign us to a devil's hell, because Satan owned us. We didn't know it, but we were not our own. Now that is probably one of the hardest concepts for a sinner today to confess, and admit that he belongs to the devil, body, soul, spirit. He's brainwashed. He's blinded. And he doesn't even realize it. But Satan owns the soul of every person who has not accepted Jesus Christ, and they don't even know it, for the most part. That reminds me of a story that came out of World War II. Some of you might have heard it. Seems like there was a, back at that time, a lot of the black folks, they didn't carry guns, they carried straight razors. Any of you know what straight razors are? They're not like those little razors you shave with now, you know. Norelco, zip, 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 and it's gone. And they carried those. And they were legal to carry because they shaved with them. It was a utility. Well, this American soldier and the German Nazi soldier came face to face, and they're going to duke it out. So this American soldier had his weapon of choice, his straight razor. And he took a swipe at that Nazi soldier with his razor, and that soldier says, "Ha, you missed." And he says, "Try turning your head." Now that's an illustration of a truth that I'm trying to get across here. Satan owns the sinners. And yet they don't fear death, even though they're lost. But try turning your head. You'll find out. And then one day, God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. His one purpose in coming into this world was to redeem us from sin, to pay the ransom price and set us free from Satan and from sin and from death. And Jesus is the only one that can do it. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. And Jesus said, it's recorded in John 10:10, "I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." And through his blood that was shed yonder on Calvary's cross, he accomplished his purpose. Hebrews 2:15 tells us that Jesus came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In bondage to Satan and sin and death. And now, when a sinner believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is set free from sin and from death. John 8:32, let me give you the scripture. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you" what?
Free.
Amen. John 8:36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." That's the only way that the bonds of sin can be broken, is by Jesus Christ, our Savior. What are we going to do with this freedom? If we have believed and accepted Jesus, then we've been set free from Satan. We're not bound to him anymore. We don't have to obey him. We don't have to serve him. What are we going to do with this freedom? We're kind of reminds me of about 2 million Jews who were delivered out of Egyptian bondage by Moses. God opened up the Red Sea and they went across on dry ground, and they turned around and they saw the armies of the Egyptians coming after them. And when they got out into the middle of that Red Sea, God caused the waters to come together like that and drowned every one of them. And they stood there on freedom's ground. They were no longer in bondage to the Egyptians. They were a freed people. Listen to what Paul wrote about it in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves, you yield yourselves. Servants to obey, his servants you are. Now let's stop a minute and take that word servant. We know what a servant is. You go into a restaurant and the waiter or waitress comes over and brings you a cup of coffee and takes your order for ham and eggs and goes back to the kitchen and they fix them up and bring them out and they serve it to you. That's a servant. No! Not the Bible kind of servant. The Bible servant is a doulos. D-O-U-L-O-S. That's the word that Paul uses in the book of Romans writing about this. That is a word that signifies in bondage, in subjection. And it's translated into English servants. Servants doesn't sound too bad. But the meaning of the word changes a little bit when you turn that word servant into slave. Servant is one that's getting paid for their services. Usually a slave is serving in bondage. To whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Sin on the one hand, obedience on the other. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Now listen to this. Being then made free from sin. There's that word free. Jesus set us free from sin. But being made free from sin, you became the servants, the doulos of righteousness. As you've yielded means to surrender, to voluntarily serve. As you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now that you're saved, that you've been born again, that you've been set free, now yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. And when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Mark that scripture and read it again and again and again when you get home. Because that word doulos means the lowest form. It's the lowest term in the scale of servitude, meaning one who gives himself up to the will of another. It's deliberate. It's a willing act, and it's voluntarily given. You're not coerced into it. It's voluntary. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 21, "Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it." Don't let that bother you. "But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. Choose freedom over servitude," he says. "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price," he says again. "Be not ye the servants of men." Now we know the cost of our freedom, don't we? That's Calvary. But are we really free? Aren't we still servants? Haven't we just changed masters? We used to be servants of Satan. We belonged to him. We served him. But now we've been bought with a price. And now we belong to Jesus. As the words of that song says, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. Well, what does he mean when he says, "You're not your own"? Are we not free? We sometimes associate the words freedom with liberty. Being made free, we have liberty. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak." In Galatians 5:13, he says, "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty, but use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." That's what God would have us to do. I like what Peter says in 1 Peter 2:16. "As free, free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." Now when Paul, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, in the introduction to that book of Romans, he calls himself a servant of Jesus Christ, a doulos, a bond slave. He intimates that he had been formerly a bond slave of Satan, and that having been bought by Jesus Christ, he was now a willing slave bound to his new master by bonds of love. That's illustrated by the bond slaves of the Old Testament. Interesting reading in Exodus chapter 21, verse 2 says, "If thou buy an Hebrew servant," 6 years he shall serve. And in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. But in verse 5 of that chapter, he says, and if the servant, now he's been there with his master, he's been sold into servitude, he's been serving for 6 years. The time of his freedom has come. If that servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Can you imagine that? I love my master. I love working here. I love serving him. Sure, I can go out free, but I'd rather stay here and work for him out of love. His master shall bring him unto the judges. Doesn't say what they're going to do, but I have an idea that they go to the judges because it becomes a legal thing here, and they're going to make this legal and binding. He goes before the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. Listen at this. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl. He gets him up against the doorpost up here, something solid, and puts his ear up there and takes an awl and a hammer. And he drives that awl through his ear, makes a hole in his ear. And he shall serve him forever. Not just 6 years, but forever. And when I think about that, I wonder how many of us bear in our ears the mark of servitude to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a voluntary, submissive, intentional, on purpose, deliberate servitude. There's no force exerted against him. You and I, who have been bought by the price of the blood of Calvary, have to acknowledge that we're gods. First of all, he owns us by right of creation because he made us and he sustains our lives, every breath, every heartbeat. Is his grace. Secondly, he owns us by right of redemption, because on the cross of Calvary, when he shed his blood, he redeemed us unto himself. He bought us with a price. So we're certainly not our own. There's coming a time, Romans 8:21. When creation, the creature itself, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. See, when sin came into the garden, Genesis chapter 3, it infected the whole human race, but it also affected all creation. It made the animals wild and ferocious. It brought thorns and thistles to the ground. The earth is under a curse. It's in the bondage of corruption. But when Christ comes, the creation shall be delivered into the glorious liberty of the children of God. What a day that will be. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Going back to the beginning, where's the Spirit of God? In our bodies. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit is, there is liberty. Liberty to serve. Liberty to serve the Lord. And you know, when Christ returns to this earth to establish his kingdom and reign for 1,000 years, we'll rule and reign with him, but we're going to be in subjection to him even then. Even though I'm a king and wearing a crown and ruling over a nation, he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when it's all over, in the eternal state, in the ages to come, 1 Corinthians 15:28, when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son himself, that's Jesus, be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And I think of what Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 15. "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own?" Let that soak in. "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own?" We're his own. We're not our own. We're his own. We belong to him. Now, I hope that you'll think about these words during this next week as I have, and let this divine truth take a hold, to get a grip on your soul, and realize that we belong to him. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Let's stand together with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the redemption that we have through Christ Jesus, that while we were sinners on the road to everlasting damnation, you saved us by your grace. You rescued us from Satan and from hell. And we owe you. And now then we find out that we've been saved to serve you. We switched our servitude to Satan to the servitude of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what a difference it makes. He has something to offer us that we couldn't find anywhere else. And gladly then will we yield ourselves in obedience to your will and become your servants. And as we go out from this place and serve you, we pray that you will keep us constantly reminded of the fact that we belong to you. You have a plan and purpose for our lives, And if we will willingly submit ourselves to you, that you will lead us in the right way, we'll be in the path of blessing. And we thank you again for being our God and rescuing us when we were in danger and didn't even know it. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Now let's have a time of fellowship together.